Star Wars, Episode 3, The Revenge of the Sith, The Abridged Script, by Rod Hilton. Fade in, exterior space. Two not-quite-TIE fighters fly and zoom around, the camera chasing wildly behind them in a way that only computer-generated scenes can show. We see that they have Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen in them.
I can hardly tell who is shooting who in this dizzying space battle sequence.
Yeah, it's pretty confusing.
No, I mean literally dizzying.
They fly toward Christopher Lee's ship so they can rescue Supreme Chancellor Ian McDermott.
Oh no! The hangar has its shields up.
Hayden shoots something next to the shield and it deactivates.
The thing that powers the shield is on the outside of the ship.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid. It's like a life support system being in a box on someone's chest.
They land inside the ship. It takes droids to school.
I sure am enjoying the feeling of brotherly camaraderie between us.
Yeah, it is nice. Seems like this sort of thing should have been in the last film. Oh well, at least there were scenes of me rolling around in the grass.
They make their way toward Christopher Lee and Ian McDermott, using the help of R2-D2, who uses his rockets to fly again. In spite of everyone trying so hard to forget that ever happened, they find Ian.
Help me, I'm trapped in a comfortable chair overlooking all the destruction I have wrought.
Suddenly, Christopher Lee enters.
I have been waiting a long time for rematch. Now you will have to face a stunt double with my face pasted on.
They duel. Christopher Lee easily dispatches Ewan. Hayden fights him and eventually kills him.
Wow, that was Christopher Lee, huh? Seems almost pointless to have killed Darth Maul and introduced him in the first place.
Hayden, Ewan, and Ian all begin to leave, but they are captured and brought before General Grievous, a robotic skeleton.
I will now add your lightsabers to my collection of Star Wars memorabilia.
He places them inside a vintage 1970s Star Wars lunchbox with thermos.
R2, freak the hell out obnoxiously!
This distracts everyone long enough for Ewan to get his lightsaber back. There's a short battle in which an opportunity to show that Grievous is as badass as we're supposed to believe is missed.
I will run like a coward, further failing to illustrate how intimidating my character is meant to be.
Hayden crashes the ship to the ground and saves everyone. There's a mild celebration, followed by a cameo by Natalie Portman, the linchpin of Hayden's turn to the dark side.
Hayden, I'm pregnant.
How can you be sure?
Because in a minute or two, I'll actually be showing. Really.
You know, I love you with all the love one can love a lover with.
Wow, that almost tops your wish line from the last movie. Tell me again on the balcony, while I brush my hair and look vaguely hideous.
We cut to Hayden having a nightmare about Natalie giving birth to a Gungan. Natalie is visibly pregnant now in a single shot, the only indicator at all that any time has passed since the previous scene. Nothing happens for a while, and eventually Hayden seeks the advice of Ian McDermott. Interior, some weird opera thing.
You seem worried about Natalie dying and confused about being a Jedi.
They don't want me to fuck Natalie Portman. That's insanity. Did you see her in Closer? Holy fuck!
Did you know that those who embrace the dark side have lots of powers that the Jedi do not? For example, they can influence that midichlorian bullshit to create life.
Create life? Wait, are you implying that my supposed virgin birth was...
And they can stop others from dying.
Stop others? Like, if someone force chokes them and they start to die because of it hours later?
Yep.
That's distracting enough that I'll not bother following up on the other thing you said.
Meanwhile, the exterior of Kashyyyk, Yoda leads an army of Wookiees to fight against droids. The scene is utterly superfluous and present solely to have a scene containing Wookiees. It also serves to make a Star Wars universe seem even smaller with more cameos by characters from the original trilogy. Exterior Utapau. Ewan McGregor finds out that General Grievous is hiding on Utapau. He jumps on a ridiculously loud and annoying iguana. The iguana sounds are ear-piercing and awful, making the audience miserable during any scene containing it. Ewan rides it up to General Grievous and challenges him.
I will attempt to destroy you now without waiting for my support troops to arrive.
Are you serious? You've lost literally every single duel you've been a part of, except for the one with Darth Maul. Hayden constantly mentions how many times he has saved you. What have you done in the entire prequel trilogy so far to prove that you're actually a decent fighter?
Hey, I sort of beat Jango Fett. So, what's with the coughing? Do droids get colds or something?
Oh no, see, I am a cyborg, not a droid. Check it out, I have an actual beating heart.
Ewan shoots, and Grievous's head explodes in a ball of fire.
That made sense.
Interior Coruscant. Hayden Christensen runs up to Samuel L. motherfucking Jackson.
Samuel, I rented the original Star Wars trilogy from Blockbuster. I'm pretty sure Ian McDiarmid is a Sith Lord.
Then it's time to get medieval on some ass.
Let me come with you.
No, go to your room.
Samuel L. motherfucking Jackson and some other Jedi go to see Ian. Meanwhile, Hayden stares out the window of the Jedi Temple towards Natalie Portman's apartment. Though he says nothing, we can see that he is conflicted, trying to decide between his commitment to the Jedi Order and his love for his wife. Natalie, at the same time, gazes toward the Jedi Temple, wondering what will happen to her husband.
How pathetic is it that the most well-acted scene between us is the one in which we are in separate buildings and have no lines?
Samuel L. motherfucking Jackson enters Ian McDiarmid's chamber.
Ian, you're under arrest for being a manipulative motherfucker.
I got the threshold, Jedi. I got the threshold for the abuse I'll take. And right now, I'm a race car, and you've got me in the red. I'm just saying, it's fucking dangerous to have a race car in the red. It could blow.
Oh, you're getting ready to blow?
I could blow.
Well, I'm a mushroom cloud land motherfucker, motherfucker. Every time my finger touches my lightsaber, I'm a Superfly TNT. I'm the guns of Navarone.
Suddenly, Ian pulls out his lightsaber. He moves towards the Jedi, pulls his arm back, aims at a Jedi, kills him with his blade out, moves towards another, and slowly kills him too. All while Samuel L. motherfucking Jackson twirls his lightsaber around pointlessly behind him. Once only Samuel's left, they duel. Ian makes silly faces and is eventually beaten.
Let me read to you from the book of Ezekiel for a moment.
Suddenly, Ian unleashes some force lightning on Samuel, which he absorbs into his lightsaber and somehow pushes back onto Ian, which causes him to grow old, apparently. Despite this, Ian refuses to stop doing it.
Must bridge gap to original trilogy.
Hayden Christensen arrives.
Wow, you really can absorb force lightning with a lightsaber. Someone really, really needs to tell Luke that. Anyway, Ian, I think Samuel's about to rip you a new one. Mind telling me how to save Natalie real quick?
Fuck that. I'm killing this geezer now.
You can't. He must stand trial. Killing him now would be... it would be exactly the same as when I killed Christopher Lee in the beginning of the movie.
Well, you're actually right, but I'm gonna kill him anyway.
Hayden stops him, and Ian throws him out the window. A fall which no partially electrocuted Jedi capable of super jumping could possibly survive.
What have I done? I submit myself to your will, Ian.
That was fast. Well, now that you have taken a single, somewhat justifiable step toward the dark side, there is no turning back. Kill all the Jedi in the temple.
including the children.
Right, go kill the children. Got it.
Well, kill everyone, not just...
On my way to kill all the children now, wee!
He does. The clone troopers kill most of the adult Jedi, while the challenging task of murdering children can only be undertaken by the Dark Lord of the Sith. Exterior, Yutapau. Ian McDermott appears in a holograph to one of the clone troopers.
Execute Order 66.
Kill all shrieking CGI creatures. All right, men, shoot down the giant iguana.
Oh, and Order 67.
Jedi 2, got it.
They shoot at Ewan, who falls into the water.
He's dead. Nobody could have survived that fall. Except Jedi, of course.
Jesus, they've become really stupid. This movie really does bridge the gap between the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy.
Exterior, Maegito. Suddenly, all of the clone troopers turn against Ki-Adi-Mundi and shoot him.
Oh no! Suddenly I'm being shot by fewer weapons than in Attack of the Clones. But somehow it overpowers me.
Clone troopers kill all remaining Jedi all over the galaxy, including the blue Hottie. Despite their supernatural senses and a lifetime of training and battle skills, they all succumb to the troopers. Meanwhile, Hayden travels to Mustafar to kill all of the Separatists. Jar Jar, sadly, is not one of them. Interior, Natalie Portman's apartment. Ewan arrives to talk to Natalie.
Natalie, do you know where Hayden is? I just saw some security recordings of the Jedi Temple, and apparently also of Ian McDermott's chamber afterwards. Or beforehand. Or an alternate universe, perhaps. Anyway, he was killing children.
Hayden? No! I refuse to entertain this notion and will dismiss your concerns outright. Hayden would never kill children. Oh, wait. Unless they were sand people, then he would kill them. But he's definitely not a murderer otherwise.
Ewan stows away on Natalie's ship as she flies to Mustafar. Exterior, Mustafar. Natalie's ship lands and she runs to Hayden.
Hayden! I heard you've gone toward the dark side. It's not true, is it? Why are your eyes all red?
You brought Ewan, didn't you? To actually act well and make me look wooden and awful.
Of course not! I'm even worse than you in this movie! Why would I bring someone capable of acting well here?
Liar!
He chokes her.
Hayden! No!
She collapses.
Oh, baby, I'm sorry. I only force choke you because I love you. Come back to me, baby.
Hayden! What the hell? Your whole reason for turning was to save her. That was completely stupid.
Nah, the Jedi are stupider. They didn't know I was married to Natalie despite the fact we lived together, which Ian figured out in seconds. They didn't know Ian was a Sith. They asked me to get close to him, knowing full well I am confused and that he's manipulative God. The assassin from Attack of the Clones allegedly couldn't be sent by Christopher Lee because it's not in his character. Face it, it's a miracle the Jedi survived this long.
Anti-Jedites.
They duel. Then they duel some more. Afterwards, they do some more dueling. Then there's another duel. A little dueling. And finally, a duel.
It's over, Hayden. I've got the high ground. Just like Darth Maul did in Episode 1, right before I killed him successfully. Ignoring that, if you jump over to me, I will cut your shit off.
You underestimate my power to decide not to jump to the low ground in front of you where I will be able to safely continue dueling, but to instead try to jump all the way over you and get my shit cut off.
He jumps and gets his shit cut right the fuck off. And is completely burned.
Motherfucker!
I'm leaving, Hayden. Even though you are writhing in agony, I won't do the humane thing and put you out of your misery. You're the dick, though.
He leaves. Ian arrives shortly after.
Take him back to Coruscant.
so we can put him in the big black life support suit that I just so happen to have lying around for just such an occasion.
Interior, Polis Massa Hospital Room. A CGI medical droid is delivering Natalie's children. Another CGI droid talks to Ewan and Jimmy Smits.
Jesus! Not every scene needs some digital character in them. She's giving birth. Can't we leave at least a few frames on the film free from CGI bullshit? Ewan could have delivered the twins. That would have been more dramatic, you know?
She is dying. She has given up the will to live.
Given up the will to live? She does know she has two brand new babies to live for, doesn't she?
Natalie has her twins, the order of which creates a completely unnecessary continuity error for no reason other than the fact that director George Lucas must really enjoy watching his obsessive fans rationalize obvious flaws. Then she dies. Interior, Alderaan Cruiser. Yoda, Ewan, and Jimmy discuss what to do with the New Hope.
I'll take the girl. Hey, Ewan, if you know about Leia, how come you refer to Luke as your last hope in The Empire Strikes Back?
I know about Leia, but Alec Guinness does not.
Reminds me that does. Speaking of justifying obvious dialogue blunders, created by the fact that George Lucas didn't actually have all six films firmly in his mind when he was making any given one, I need to train you how to be a Force ghost, so you can explain to Luke how Vader killed his father.
Where should we keep him in the meantime?
His family on Tatooine, you mistake.
Wait, really? You mean to hide him from Hayden and Ian? We are going to allow him to keep the last name of Skywalker, bring him to Hayden's birth planet, and put him in the care of his actual relatives. It would take, like an hour of research to track him down if the Empire wanted him.
Well, go watch over him from a really far place to make sure he's safe.
Interior, Coruscant Imperial Rehab Center. Darth Hayden Christensen, in full suit, is situated upright.
Where is Natalie Portman? Suddenly I am worried about her again.
It seems that in your overacting, you've killed her.
How? You think that would really make me see the error of the dark side, realize that I were right all along, and kill you right now? How?
So, now that the movie is over, would you say that the prequel trilogy was worth making?
No!
This was a Geeks On production. For more information, go to our website at geekson.com.